because genocide against native people is still going on today all over the world.
Native Solidarity News. It's about you too. CKUT, CKDU, CFBEX, CFUV, CHFN, CHLY, CHMA, CHSR, CJLY, CJSF, CJSW, Radio 90.
Based on land. Land is the basis of all independence.
Welcome to Native Solidarity News. My name is Erker. I'm here with JJ. We are going to come up with a little piece of some music and some news and a feature with Delbert and Gene Sampson. So just stay a little tuned, and this is NSN. We're back. You're listening to NSN, Native Solidarity News. We got JJ here with the news, and she's coming right up here How are you doing, JJ?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. Our first story today is from across the ocean in Botswana, which is in the southern part of Africa. A couple weeks ago, you might remember, we had a story about the situation down there, the Botswana government and the sand bushmen of the Kalahari, who are currently engaged in a conflict over the sand bushmen's right to continue to live in the Central Kalahari Game Reserve. On September 24th, a group of sand bushmen were arrested after trying to bring supplies to their relatives in the game reserve. On September 29th, the First People of the Kalahari also won Sweden's Right Livelihood Award, which is also known as the Alternative Nobel Peace Prize. The First People of the Kalahari is the grassroots organization of the Ghana and the Gwe sand bushmen, who are the ones who are in the game reserve right now. The award has been given for the sands, quote, resolute resistance against eviction from their ancestral lands and for upholding the right to their traditional way of life, end quote. This award followed an altercation between sand demonstrators and Botswana police, which resulted in the arrest of over 20 sand on September 24th, just outside the Central Kalahari Game Reserve. Roy Sesana and Jumanda Gakelebone, two prominent members of the organization First People of the Kalahari, were among those arrested. Sesana, Gakelebone, and fellow protesters were attempting to enter the game reserve to bring food, water, and other supplies to the roughly 250 Gwe and Ghana san residing inside the reserve, according to Survival International. Botswana closed the reserve to the public on September 1st of this year, citing administrative reasons and also claiming that they wish to quarantine an outbreak of sarcoptic mange, also known as scabies, which was allegedly introduced to the reserve by domesticated goats that some of the San had brought into the reserve. However, an international group of veterinary experts dismissed this reason in a letter published in the Botswana paper Maggie. They said, while it can be dangerous, scabies can be very easily treated in domestic animals with modern drugs. With the closure of the reserve, the government has effectively cut off outside contact with those stand still inside the reserve. They have also reportedly banned hunting, confiscated radio transmitters, and are not allowing water to be brought in. According to Survival International, there are armed wildlife guards in every sand bushman community in the reserve, and those bushmen still holding out in the reserve have little means of survival. Apparently, the government has also banned journalists from entering the reserve. A group of Americans probing allegations of repression in the reserve, including the chair of Human Rights Watch, report that they were followed, questioned, intimidated, and harassed for 3 days by Wildlife Department officials and finally escorted out of the reserve by armed guards. All of this comes despite the fact that the court case to establish whether the Bushmen's eviction was lawful is still pending. In a press release dated September 27th, the government of Botswana claims that the demonstrators were, quote, unremittingly hurling insults and verbal abuse at the police, end quote, and that a small group of protesters, quote, displayed threatening behavior, end quote. The Botswana government statement said the police, quote, exercised patience and great restraint, end quote, but were ultimately forced to fire rubber bullets after the demonstrators began to riot. According to Survival International, an NGO working closely with the Bushmen, none of them were carrying arms. All of the demonstrators were subsequently arrested and then released on bail after 4 days in custody. Survival International reported on September 26th that two of the sand demonstrators were shot at repeatedly and that one individual required hospitalization. The report also alleges protesters were beaten after being handcuffed and that while in custody, five of the detainees were tortured by Botswana police. A little background on this story. In 1997, Botswana instituted a policy of removing approximately 1,700 Ghana and Gwe San Bushmen from their ancestral lands in the Central Kalahari Game Reserve. This move was in response to a fact-finding mission regarding land use conflicts around environmental protection, wildlife conservation, and the socioeconomic development of the communities inside the reserve. Based on the conclusions of this fact-finding mission, a report was published on the Government of Botswana website entitled The Relocation of the Basarwa from the Central Kalahari Game Reserve. The resettlement of the Sand Bushmen was justified by claiming that, quote, the development of permanent settlements in the game reserve, coupled with the new hunting and herding activities, such as use of guns, horses, and dogs, of the residents were inconsistent with wildlife conservation in the reserve. The government also claimed that it was relocating Bushmen on humanitarian and developmental grounds because it was not economically feasible to provide services such as education, drinking water, and medical services to the San who were not living in concentrated areas within the reserve. In a 2002 Cultural Survival Quarterly publication, anthropologist Robert Hitchcock wrote that outside pressure forced the government to free the Central Reserve of people to make room for diamond mining and high-end tourism. The Central Kalahari Game Reserve was set up in the 1960s specifically to protect the Kaurna and the Gwi as well as wildlife and fauna. But for 16 years now, the Botswana government has pushed them off the reserve under claims that they would benefit by moving to resettlement camps hundreds of miles away. However, assertions by diamond miner De Beers that there is no connection between the Kalahari evictions and diamond licenses was undermined in last week's court hearing in which the permanent Secretary for Minerals, Energy and Water Affairs, named Akolang Tombali, was giving evidence for the state. Tombali said that more than 30 exploration permits covering much of the area sought by the Bushmen were applied for just a few days after Bushmen communities were relocated in 2002. Those who have refused to leave the reserve must deal with the government's harassment, restrictions on hunting, and denial of services. Restrictions permit only a few animals to be hunted per year and require licenses, making it very difficult for San to feed their families. Over the past 3 years, small groups of San who found life in the resettlement camps intolerable returned to the reserve despite government prohibition. Since the official closure of the reserve, communication with these groups has been inconsistent. Led by Sesana and Gakelebone in 2002, a group of 242 San filed an appeal to the High Court of Botswana to request that the withdrawal of services from the Central Kalahari Game Reserve be ruled unlawful and that those who were forcibly removed from the reserve be allowed to return. The court battle was postponed in early September until February next year to allow the first people of the Kalahari representing the San Bushmen to raise more funds. For sources and further reading, you can go to www.culturalsurvival.org, also www.survivalinternational.org, and the government of Botswana also has some interesting press releases on the subject on their website, so you can check that out for more information.
All right, thanks, JJ. We're going to come up with a little bit more tunes, and then we're going to come up to our feature for today, an interview with Delbert and Jean Sampson. You listen to NSN, Native Solidarity News.
Yeah.
right, you're listening to NSN, Native Solidarity News. Now, we got our feature here for today. It's an interview with Delbert Sampson and his wife, Jean, who work in the prison system dealing with our Red brothers and sisters who are stuck between the walls. And like the United States, when it comes to African Americans in the States and how the prison system there is full of African Americans, there's a similar correlation here when it comes to how many of our Red brothers and sisters are trapped between the walls and pretty much forgotten about. And this interview focuses a lot on the spirituality that our people have been denied for a great many years because they just were never they were never allowed to have to practice the sweats and the healing circles. And this, it's finally starting to come out, especially in Quebec, I think, which was one of the last provinces to actually allow this to be to happen. Just what's the frustrating thing is that Christians, Muslims, pretty much religions of all walks of life have been allowed to practice their belief system in the prison system, and it always seems to be the one, we seem to be the ones who are always in last place when it comes to things like this. So this is Delbert and Jean Sampson. You're listening to CKUT's Native Solidarity News. My name is Urquhart. I'm here with JJ.
Give it everything you got. Just move like you're in a groove or a deep valley. Prove you're someone that the world needs madly. Heat the heart of everything near you. Be who you are. Shine like you do. Aboriginal. I'm speaking directly to you. Full blood, quarter, third, or 16th. Res folk, city folk, blue eyes, brown or green, Caucasian features or cheekbones that cut glass. Ignite the future, joined by the past. Rise like the sun, you already have begun. Them blood boils even in the weakest of quantum. Stay strong, help each other along. To every shade of red, I dedicate this song. Just stay strong and rock. Hey, rockin' boat, don't sink. Float, rock. Hey, rockin' boat, don't sink. I like writing rhymes, but I'm not supposed to. Writing rhymes, not what fair-skinned girls do. I just bounce off the sounds and the tones. The beat and the bass make the day less lonely. I dream of a lovely time. Separate sense from the voice in my mind. I get wet thinking, hypothetically. Break a sweat dreaming, I'm gonna get me. One on the front and back on both sides. Don't mean I don't get it good from a man, right? It's just life loving, all kinds. So many beautiful hearts and bright minds. So many ways to click and shoe shine, but it's so outlawed to dig a double time. But the sky is the skin and the eyes of the stars. I love it all, it's just who I are. I rock, hey, rock the boat, don't sing. Rock, hey, rock the boat, don't sing.
Rock the boat, y'all.
Rock, hey, rock the boat,
everybody, don't everybody sing. Just rock the boat.
Rock, hey, rock the boat, don't sing.
Rock the boat.
Rock the boat,
y'all. Rock the boat.
let's rock the boat. Here we go.
Okay, here I am with Delbert Sampson and his wife Jean. Delbert works with prisoners and the prison system, helping them with their spiritual beliefs.
Good afternoon. My name is Delbert Sampson from the Shuswap Nation of British Columbia. And I've been out here for a while and I'm helping guys out in the prisons with a lot of my experiences, really, and the things that I've learned in my life through spirituality.
So how did you get involved with the prison system? Did it just come naturally to you? And how hard did you have to fight to get Native spirituality into prison the prison system?
They've been working at it for a while. They've already had the sweat lodges and the teepees in the institutions, but they say it took them quite a while to get it in there. And myself, I can say, I guess I got involved through the Native Friendship Center of Montreal, and I was invited out there to go in and help them out with the smudging, the prayers, one-on-ones, any kind of counseling that I could do to help them out.
Now, when you refer to counseling, do you mean like drug counseling and alcoholism?
Might as well. We can say that all the things that we've learned and the way that we have learned them and understanding all the dynamics of the things that we want to change and say when we get fed up with the way things are going and just help them along, like give them the guidance.
Everybody be beautiful, we need to grow. Good love is like food to the soul. I know about the world's dirty wars. Dirty cops kicking in drug dealers' doors. What you call a crack whore might be somebody's daughter. I bust rats for the tune like a slaughter. For the kids without water, for the kids without food. I'ma pour out my soul and spit it to you. I gotta be true. Kids who ran away from the residential school and for those who didn't escape. Mother Earth's being raped by the Industrial Revolution. Do you think it's okay that your kids eat McDonald's every day? Do you think it's okay that your kids watch TV every sun ray? Get them out on the land and teach them preservation and the real history about the reservation. Keep them motivated and never intimidated. Being civilized and being assimilated. Yeah, that's right, you colonial folks, the ones who have fallen from the cop houses and pitchforks. So what if you own a BMW with gold spokes? Yeah, you came a long way from being FOBs. Now you talk shit to immigrants like you're indigenous. No matter how many English words you say, they can never distinguish us. I see all the exports and imports, shipping out raw materials. The package are all up nice like it's their own. Man, there's a lot of stolen goods being sold. A lot of fake stories being told. Like the sharing knowledge, but knowledge is created, not found. I'm looking for the speakers who are profound, that motivate the youth to speak the truth and bring us to the point where we're all under one roof. Keep the circle strong and be true. Yeah, this native can't say enough. You would have to be tough just to shut me up. Even if you kill me now, my soul still lingers, whispering to your soul, there will be danger. If you don't act now, what's gonna happen? If you don't act now, what's gonna happen? If you don't act now, what's gonna happen? Warriors in the house, put your fists up. Warriors in the house, put your fists up. Warriors in the house, put your fists up. Not to be great, we can let go of the hate to show respect for how it was back in the day. Things have changed on the right that I'm from. Since Grand Theft Auto, every kid wants a gun. I bang on the drum while you bang on the box. I'm singing the woman's warrior anthem. For awards I'm fighting for a ransom. With the right to breathe, the story passing. Can you feel the strength of the eagle dancing? Regret, your mind will strengthen. My peace, we were wrecking the streets before there were pavements. We recorded births before there were documents. Even though there's 500 nations, we're still one regiment. So me standing here spitting rhymes is more than a statement.
And for those of you slang rocks, you don't get props. I don't trust cops, and I don't trust the government, cause you say your destiny is manifested. I think you put in a book just to justify not being arrested. Times will get tough, and times you'll get tested. It's a fallacy of them owning the water, the dirt, the air. Remember, in our hearts it was never theirs. This colonial establishment, I had enough of it. So I hang with the ruffians that want to make a difference. Props to all the elders that show true resilience. All the revolutionaries are trying to make appearance. We're growing by the millions, check the demographics. You call us militant, we just have passive tactics. Now everybody get up and do something drastic. Get up, everybody. Get up, everybody. Get up, it's time now.
And when it comes to the spiritual guidance, Gene, you've been doing this for quite some time yourself. How long has it been? When did you start knowing that this is the kind of life that you believed in? And what does it do for you personally?
Well, in 1994, I was working at the Native Friendship Center, and part of my job was to start healing circles for women. And from that led me to the Sweat Lodge, and then that led me to the Sundance, and that just kept leading me all on the Red Road. So since then, I've just been really involved in ceremonies and prayers, and then I started getting invited to different places to help people. I'm trained as a social worker, so I have like my degree from McGill.
So now, when you talk about working with women, you find a lot of battered women that you have had to deal with. Is that still very serious in the community, or has it actually, with education, has it begun to decrease?
Well, originally I was working with women who had been abused. Then I worked with homeless women, and now I work with women that are in prison. Most of them have committed murder due to abuse. So abuse is still there. So is all of the other stuff, the alcohol and drugs and all that. It's in in urban areas and community. I've never worked with people in communities. I work with people in urban areas that come from communities or that are urban aboriginals. But a lot of the stuff that it's just like it's recycled, you know, it just keeps going on. Sooner or later, someone has to take a stand and stop the cycle from continuing. So it's just awareness and finding that connection to spirit that really helps them to get strong and help them to make changes.
I noticed, I can't help but notice how the intensity of, the violence that's on a lot of reserves. Are there programs in place now, or have they not been designed yet? Because I know that a lot of Native groups, like the Native Friendship Center and different Native groups from around the Montreal area, have been trying to design programs for violence against women and... Is there anything like that in the community, or does that still need to be built?
Well, there are programs in every community against violence, against drug and alcohol abuse. There's awareness campaigns, there's prevention, there's all types of stuff that's available for people that want to learn about it or to make changes. So there are programs in place. It's just a matter of people deciding that they want to make a change in their life and they want to do something for themselves. So.
If you're going to do something with your life, you yourself in your soul have to decide that you want to do it, unless no one can tell you how to do anything. You know, you have to be prepared to spend the pain to make the gain.
got so many things on my mind. Like how I wish I could turn back time. Like how I can't take away the pain. Or like how I can't bring about the change. Like winter in the spring and summer in the fall. I just want some peace of mind and that's all. Life today seems a little fast paced. I look around and everybody's in a race. Money leads away and the masses give chase. Slavery ain't abolished, it just changes face. It ain't by just complexion no more. Money means power, so piss on the poor. Like sick babies kick the hospital doors. Penny old starving huddled on the floor. Teenage kids using drugs and alcohol. Just so they can't forget about it all. They reach out to the world and get bitch slapped. When all they wanted was a pat on the back. People of the world, you should realize that only love can make you feel alive. Look into my eyes if you don't understand the pains in my life that make me a man. Look at my face, I don't wear a disguise. If you don't understand, just look into my eyes. Look into my eyes if you don't understand the pains in my life that make me a man. Look at my face, I don't wear a disguise. If you don't understand, just look into my eyes.
You still wanna be with me? I have to ask why. You say you don't see yourself with another guy. Do you really wanna live your life like this? Twisted and confused, think of what you might miss if you spend your time with someone else. Build a relationship with someone else. The house that we share wasn't built on land. It was my choice to build that shit on sand. I'm really sorry and I hope you understand that, baby, I'm not a man. I never was, don't know if I will be. And I don't understand why you still wanna be with me. I'm a cheater, all the things I do to you. All this pain that I put you through. I know in your heart that you know I'm not true. When I tell you the truth, I don't deserve you. It's up to me to deal with all these pains. But right now, I don't wanna change. And I'm sick and tired of all this lying. Because in my heart, I'm slowly dying.
Look into my eyes if you don't understand the pains in my life that make me a man. Look at my face, I don't wear a disguise. If you don't understand, just look into my eyes. Look into my eyes if you don't understand the pains in my life that make me a man. Look at my face, I don't wear a disguise. If you don't understand, just look into my eyes. At times, I think the world's deranged. People doing things that I feel are strange. Like parents who leave the kids alone. These little souls got a fend for their own. Painful memories of a broken home. The pain still burns even when they're grown. It takes a village to raise a child. Without the love, you wish you could die. That's why native kids turn to suicide. What does it take to open your eyes?
You know there's sometimes when I have to stop. Take a look down before I look to the top. Sometimes things aren't what they seem. Maybe I'm chasing a foolish dream. Maybe this really isn't me. Is this the man I'm supposed to be? So many questions climbing this hill. So many empty spaces to fill in a life that really don't make no sense. When the only thing I know is consequence. Foolish actions that I once made. A price that one day must be paid.
Look into my eyes if you don't understand.
And I also noticed the suicide rate on a lot of reserves is still very, very high. Are there any programs in place for suicide in on the reserves? How are the shamans and the medicine men and everyone trying to deal with that this catastrophe? Because like it can't continue to go on.
Well, there was a suicide prevention conference here in Montreal, I think last year. And I believe that a lot of the workers from the communities went to it. And there is a suicide prevention association that's new in Quebec, that their office is downtown. And I believe that many of the communities have suicide prevention programs. Again, it all ties back to loss of language, loss of culture, loss of identity, and loss of jobs, and not being able to like be proud of who you are and have that empowerment, self-empowerment. And then that's when the drugs and alcohol kick in, and then that's when the hopelessness starts, and that just like leads on to other stuff. So there's programs in place. It's for people to decide that they want to like participate or find their spirituality, because there's a lot of people that are Christians, and you know their religion might help them in a way.
Of all these issues, and a lot of it has come from the assimilation, the that a lot of our people are like church oriented, and so what normally happens is there's very few people that actually do any kind of traditional spiritual work, and the ones that do are looked down upon from modern society, and so it just goes on from there. So well, what needs to happen is we need to encourage our children and our grandchildren, so it's going to be a little while for a lot of these processes to start turning over. So like it's taken us a while to get where we are, and what we're trying to do now is trying to encourage our children to come back and to enjoy the dances, the ceremonies, sweat lodges, and whatever other dynamics that we need, that feed them with this positivity, so they feel good through acknowledgement and encouragement. So this is what really happens, is what we try to do is try to encourage people here and there, and maybe it's going to kick in, and it takes time. It's such a long process, and healing process is a long process. So it just goes from there, somebody working here and there and helping people along, and they go along, and it just grows from there. So it will be a little while. And the people that do get empowered, you really see them grow. You really see the glow in their faces, the real happiness. So, and it's so rewarding to see this process. So it's good.
When he mentions the dancing and the powwow, we are right now, I've taken them aside at the Native Friendship Center of Powwow that's happening at Cabot Square. It's happening today, Saturday the 24th, and tomorrow, Sunday the 25th. And there's a lot of dancing, there's a lot of storytelling, there's a lot of singing. And if you feel free, it's all free. They are accepting donations, so feel free to come on out and see a culture that's truly rich and proud to be who they are. This is Urquhart for Native Solidarity News.
Walking through the vastness of a field surrounded by wild, or should I say free fauna, a freeway on one side, trachomes on the other. Walking with my firstborn, 4 years old, little warm hand in my hand, trying to introduce him to the earth, our mother. Thinking about this field before the Western invasion, and how much of my view is original, and how much is foreign. My thoughts start to wander, and I remember the wise words of an elder under an arbor, asking out loud, "What is spirituality?" And he replies to himself, "The understanding and feeling of connection to everything in this world and universe." And as I walk towards the middle of this vast field, I hear less and less the freeway, and less the surrounding streets, and more, I begin to hear the breath of the wind in the stillness of this vast field. And this only nurtures my thoughts in a non-linear way, and a sense of security, calmness, soulless but interconnectedness begins to overwhelm my sense of being. And I feel so good. I feel so at home. When out of the stillness of this field, in a most soothing way, I hear, "Psh, psh, 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 psh." four times. The Creator seems to be speaking. And for a brief, quick moment, that felt like forever. United States of America, there was no pain, no World Bank, no IMF, no hunger, no bosses, no leaders, no English or Spanish language, no race tripping, no self-hate, no churches, no guilt, no borders, no egos, no fear, no pollution, no politics, no in-house set tripping. There was only respect and balance. And it was all good. All love. All love in that field. In that moment. In my heart.
All right, you're listening to NSN, Native Solidarity News. JJ's got a couple more news items here.
Yes, yes, I do. That's true. Okay, our next two stories are a bit more local. The first is just an announcement. I believe this was sent out. This is a call out sent out by the Indigenous Peoples Solidarity Movement, which is an organization based in Montreal, about the situation in Gonesitage. So the announcement is, the J12 arrestees need courtroom solidarity. Come support the people of Gonesitage while they fight for justice. This Thursday and Friday, the 6th and 7th of October, plus Monday through Friday next week, 19 people from Gonesitage will be in court to defend themselves and their actions last January 12, 2004, the day the community of Gonesitage said no to the federally appointed Grand Chief of the Gonesitage Band Council and his supporters on council, as well as the colonial governments of Quebec and Canada. This was the day that James Gabriel tried to invade the community with his personal goon squad of 67 cops, bought and paid for by the federal government. They were thrown out and are now out for good, but the struggle continues. 24 people were originally charged for allegedly rioting and forcible confinement. Of the 19 remaining facing charges, no one accepted the Crown's deal of a guilty plea with $500 fine in exchange for a discharge. They want their day in court, and now it's here. Self-defense is legal, and they want to let everyone know. So show your support by sitting in court with them as they fight for their freedom. Let your friends and communities know that the struggle continues. You can email ipsm@resist.ca. That's ipsm@resist.ca for more information, or to get a ride up to the courtroom if you are in the Montreal area. The next story is from the Albany Times Union newspaper. Claiming that their rights are being trampled, a group of Kanyan Kake, commonly referred to as Mohawks, from Akwesasne and their allies in other Native communities, want the Pledge of Allegiance taken out of their schools. The sentiment comes after the local Board of Education tried to ban the Thanksgiving address, a traditional ritual, and decided that it shouldn't be part of the academic day. Quote, if they are willing to leave the address alone, we're willing to leave the pledge alone, says Colleen Farwell, a parent taking the issue to court. Quote, it's about culture, said Farwell, a Crow person from Montana who moved to Akwesasne when she married a guy Nekahake. There is a sort of deculturization that happens to all of us. She and others readily admit the approximately 2,100 student Salmon River School District recognizes the Native culture. Students can study Ganaina Kahake history, and at the high school, which is about 65% Mohawk, posters feature subjects like Akwesasne women in sports. Lacrosse, a game originated by Indigenous people, is popular here. The U.S., Canadian, and Haudenosaunee flags fly at equal height outside the building. Akwesasne is split in half by the U.S.-Canadian border along the St. Lawrence River. But spend some time with folks, and it doesn't take long for horror stories about the past to spill out. Jean Hearn, 71, remembers how a bifurcated existence led to a nervous breakdown in her 20s. "I got strapped 6 times on each hand for each Mohawk word I used," said Hearn. "I had to be an Indian girl at home and a white girl at school." It's against that checkered history that some viewed the events this past May. According to the lawsuit, the school board got a complaint about the Thanksgiving address, which includes a reference to the Creator. The board sought a legal opinion from its Syracuse-based law firm, which advised it to stop playing the words over the public address system. Creator, the school district's lawyer said, could be construed as a reference to God. But Mohawks say the meaning is lost in translation. "Mention of the Creator," said Edward Smoke, "is merely an acknowledgement of the creative force of nature." The Thanksgiving address, she added, is an ancient ritual in which Mohawk acknowledge the bounty of nature, including water, sunlight, trees, and animals, which has sustained for centuries. The title Thanksgiving Address means words that are spoken before an important event. It's distinct from the holiday of the same name. "Bringing God into the issue," said Edward Smoke, "was just another example of how white culture sees things through a narrow prism." Expunging the Thanksgiving address angered some students who held a demonstration in the auditorium. "We had a silent protest," said 8th grader Wishy David, 14. The suit also notes that a Christmas tree and Christmas carols are present in the school around holiday time. Farwell's suit doesn't specifically ask to have the Pledge of Allegiance removed, but it is cited prominently in court papers. A recent federal appeals court ruling in California prompted Farwell and others to question whether the pledge should be recited in their communities. In the California case, a judge upheld an earlier decision that the phrase "under God" in the pledge amounted to the unconstitutional establishment of religion. The decision applies only in California, but has received the national attention and could help form precedents elsewhere. Again, that is from the Albany Times Union newspaper. You can check out that website if you are interested in more information on that story.
Thanks, JJ. Right now, the feature that you did hear today was the interview with Delbert and Jean Sampson, a Native shaman, both Native shamans who work within the prison system, helping our Native brothers and sisters. The music that you heard through that interview was came off the Redwire compilation, which you can find at redwiremag.com, all one word. Right now, we're going to come up with some more of our own tunes here, and you're listening to NSN, Native Solidarity News.
Thank you.
right, welcome back. This is NSN, Native Solidarity News. Now, JJ's got just one last piece to put out.
It's not really a piece. I just wanted to say, while doing my reading for this week's news briefs, I came across an interesting story that I didn't actually have time to talk about, but it's something to worth watching, I think. Premier Gordon Campbell in BC made some very interesting comments about the history of the treaty process in BC. If you want to check that out, the Globe and Mail has an article in the Thursday, September 29th edition of their paper, an article by Rod Mickle-Burr. I'm not going to get into it, but it was interesting, so if you're interested in it, check it out.
Will do. Okay, that's that does it for us, and you've been listening to NSN, Native Solidarity News.
Thank you.
Yeah, see you later, JJ.